Hi, I'm Daniel Foley from the Abundant Life Training Center, and welcome to our weekly, yearly cycle updates, where today we're going to be talking about unwavering decisions. We are in this time of the year right now where the Feast of Trumpets is coming up on September 6th, also known as Rosh Hashanah. So the evening of September 6th is Rosh Hashanah, or the Feast of Trumpets, which starts a 10-day period called the 10 Days of Awe. So think of awe. And honor and respect and reverence for God, reverent submission for God. These are 10 days out of awe for God to be taking high levels of action, to be firming up our decisions to walk by faith, to be firming up our decisions to believe we receive from God by faith the things that we ask of Him, to be taking action on the things that we know to do. I want you to think about the trumpet. In the Old Testament, the trumpet was a signal. The trumpet was a signal. It was a call to battle. It was a wake-up call. It was a call. They used the trumpet to signal, to tell the people when to move, when to stop, when to go, when to rest. The trumpet, think of it, it's either on or it's off. And with our decision-making, this time of the year, the Feast of Trumpets is a reminder for us that Jesus wants to, it says at the blast of the trumpet, the dead in Christ will rise. It's this reminder for us this time of year that Jesus wants to resurrect our lives. We're called to live a new life in this day and age right now. Yes, there's going to be a new life in heaven, but He's raised us up to new life. And this new way of living that we've been called to requires making some unwavering decisions. I don't know about you, but I went through some phases in my life. I can think of several particular examples where I wavered on some decision-making, especially in business. I wavered back and forth on what to do. And there was even times where I made a decision and then I would revert back away from that decision. I would retreat from it, which is not good, which is not a good thing to do. We want to be like God. We're going to see God's going to show us some examples of whenever God speaks something or He promises something, He decides something, it's done. He says, I don't speak and not act. I speak and then I fulfill is what He does. So we're going to get started with prayer. And then we'll dive into this a little bit more. So we're going to start with this prayer from Ephesians chapter 3. On our weekly, yearly cycle updates, we've been praying this prayer from Ephesians chapter 3 lately, starting in verse 16. So Heavenly Father, we just pray. I just pray for everybody who's watching or listening, all their families, their friends, everybody connected to them. And Father, I just thank You. I thank You for releasing us from darkness, for transferring us into the light that Jesus has died the death that He died to raise us up to new life, to connect us back to You and raise us up to this new life, this new way of living that's connected to You, to walk out Your plans and purposes for our life. And I just pray, Lord, that out of Your glorious riches, You would strengthen us with power through Your Spirit in our inner being, so that Christ would dwell in our hearts through faith. And I pray that we would be rooted and established in love, and we would have power together with all of the saints to grasp how wide and long and high and deep is the love of Christ, and to know this love that surpasses knowledge, that we would be filled to the measure of all the fullness of God. Now to Him, to You, God, who is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or dream or imagine, according to Your power that is at work within us. To You be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. So I'm gonna set my Bible down here, but that's a prayer. Get my words tied up a little bit there. That's a prayer that the Apostle Paul prays for the people. But let's look at this unwavering decision. Like I said, I've had some times. I remember there was a time in my gym business where we got all of our guys together and we made a firm decision about some steps we were going to take. And then it was my own fault. I began to waver. I began to let some people influence me. They were not my team. And I began to waver and I reverted back on my decision. I remember that lost a lot of credibility with my team at the time. I lost a lot of trust with my team at the time. And I'm just thinking of right now, we've been reading the story of the 10 plagues with my kids in the mornings lately. And it's so funny. You look at this story of the 10 plagues and Pharaoh tells Moses and Aaron, hey, I'm not going to let the people go. He calls them lazy. He increases their quota of bricks that they have to make as slaves. And then he doesn't supply them with any more materials to make the bricks. They have to go find their own. So he makes it harder on them, says he was ruthless. He was without compassion for these people who they were enslaving. So Moses and Aaron say, hey, let our people go. God says, let the people go. He says, no way. These people are just lazy. They have too much time on their hands. So we're going to make their work harder for them. And God begins to bring these 10 plagues on Egypt. And every time it seems like Pharaoh says, you know what? All right, I'll let the people go. I'll let the people go. And then these plague comes. And after the plague goes away, he hardens his heart and he changes. He goes back on his word. And then he decides not to let the people go. He had promised he was going to let the people go once Moses prayed to remove the plague. And then the plague is gone and he changes his mind and he doesn't fulfill on his word, doesn't fulfill on his promise. It's a form of evil, I think, to continually not fulfill on your word, to be continually not fulfilling on what you said you were going to do. So you see that pattern over and over with Pharaoh. So let's look at some scriptures here. This is Jesus talking, Matthew 5, 36 and 37. Nor should you swear by your head, for you cannot make a single hair white or black. Simply let your yes be yes and your no be no. Anything more than that comes from the evil one. Then it says, God is not a human. This is Numbers 23, 19. God is not a human that he should lie, not a human being that he should change his mind. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? So it's a simple idea. We're supposed to be yes or no. Like I said, a trumpet, on or off, yes or no, black or white. We see these themes all throughout this. When I think of the trumpet in my book, Cracking Heaven's Code, is getting a little bit more technical, but I think of the trumpet. We talk about some of the ways that your body works, the human body, the way that it's built to work. And we actually had a time where we did some consultations with a neurologist for some inventions we were working on and trying to understand the human body a little bit better. And she began to tell us, when the muscles in your body activate, those muscles in your body activate. So think of this like the trumpet call, the signal to wake up, to activate in the muscles. She said, when that signal happens, it's all or nothing. It's either on or it's off. There's no in between. Either a muscle group is turned on or it's off. There's no in between. The trumpet right now, this time of the year, signal, turn on, wake up. Firm up your decisions, unwavering decisions. Let your yes be yes or your no be no. So I was talking about this with my kids. And we're talking about the importance of our words. For example, God's word. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and not fulfill? Becoming a person of integrity, where when you say you're going to do something, you decide on something, you do it. You take that action. You follow through and you fulfill what you promised. That's an important part of our walk with God. But there's another piece of that. Before you promise, you got to be careful what you promise, because you don't want to promise something that you can't fulfill. And look, it says, yes, let your yes be yes or your no be no. Don't make overly complicated promises. Don't get into promising all these other extra things that you can't fulfill. Let your yes be yes and your no be no. Simple, yes or no. Can we do this or not? And firming up those decisions. So I'm thinking about this. And I was out for a walk, and this verse, kind of thinking about these concepts of the Feast of Trumpets that's coming up, and this verse kind of came to mind. So it's the parable of the two sons from Matthew chapter 21, this verses 28 through 32. This is Jesus telling the parable. He says, what do you think? Jesus saying, what do you think? There was a man who had two sons. He went to the first son and said, go, son, go and work in the vineyard today. I will not, he answered. But later he changed his mind and went. Then the father went to the other son and said the same thing. He answered, sir, I will. But he did not go. Which of the two did what his father wanted? The first one, they answered. So Jesus said to them, truly, I tell you, the tax collectors and the prostitutes are entering the kingdom of God ahead of you. For John came to show you the way of righteousness, and you did not believe him, but the tax collectors and the prostitutes did. And even after you saw this, you did not repent and believe him. So we see here, both of these guys changed their mind, actually, which is not good. One of them realized, however, he made a bad decision. One of them made a bad decision. He humbled himself and then he went. The other guy promised he would go, and then he did not fulfill. So in this case, we see it was better to promise that he wasn't going to go and then go anyway. I used to always tell my staff at the gym, it's better to under-promise and over-deliver. If I'm going to send an email to somebody, it's better to tell them not to promise them a specific time and then send it quickly than to promise them a specific time and not follow through. Because now I look bad. I promised them I would send it by 5 p.m. tonight and they don't have it. Now I look bad. If I say nothing about sending to it, or I just say I will send it when I can, and then I send it quickly, now I look really good. This guy looks pretty good. I will not go, he said at first, but then he changed his mind and said, you know what, I better go. But the other one who said, I will go, and he didn't follow through on his word, he was in trouble. So just a very simple concept today. Number one, be more aware of what you're speaking and what you're promising. Number one, think about what you're deciding on, what you are promising, what's coming out of your mouth, the decisions that you're making. And then once you know what to do, this is where you got it, where we talk about often, do what you know to do. Once you know what to do, then you got to make that decision and you got to firm it up and you got to follow through. You got to stick to that decision. You got to be unwavering in it. So we're going to take a communion over the week, this week. And part of this communion, we're just going to be receiving God's help. Just we're his children. And we can imitate him and become more like him. Does he speak and then not act? Does he promise and then not fulfill? We can become more like him in this. So Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your grace, for all the ways that we've probably missed it. I know I've missed it many times in this. Not doing what I said I was going to do, not being more diligent in my decision making and firming up and sticking to my decisions. We just thank you for your grace and mercy and your steadfast, unfailing love for us, Lord, that nothing is impossible with you. And we have this amazing opportunity to have a covenant relationship with you, where you're leading us and guiding us all day long. And we can tune into your voice and get clear on the steps you want us to take. And then once we know what to do, help, we're asking for your help to help us to be more like you. When we know what to do, to firm up our decisions, to stop being double-minded and to firm up our decisions and to walk out the things that we know to do. Father, we just thank you that on the night Jesus was betrayed, he took the bread and said, this is my body broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me. And he said, take it. Receive it. That he makes you right with God and holy and perfect. You can approach him with freedom and confidence. He's made you his child. And he's here to help us get this right. So Father, we just thank you for it. If you have your bread, you can take your bread. So then after supper, Jesus took the cup. He said, this is the cup of the new covenant in my blood, poured out for the forgiveness of sins for many. It's that forgiveness of sins that releases us from darkness, transfers us into the light. We can have this covenant relationship with God. He wants to raise us up to this new life, connected with him, in partnership with him. Father, we just thank you for it. I ask you to bless this cup in Jesus' name. If you have your juice, you can take your juice. All right. So now it's simply about walking it out. Over the next week, we do these things weekly. What do you know to do this week? The things that you know that you know that you know to do. firm up your decisions. Start taking action on them today. But I hope this has been helpful for you. If you'd like to learn more about partnering with us in the Abundant Life Blueprint, you can go to the AbundantLifeTrainingCenter.com.